Fifth Quarter Podcast.
Denver Broncos.
Fifth Quarter Podcast.
Quinto Cuarto.
Blogspot.com.
You've heard it. Quinto Cuarto. Justin David here with my boy, Alexander Gonzalez.
Muy buenas noches. Gracias a todo el público que nos ha seguido en nuestro podcast sobre la NFL. El día de hoy vamos a hablar acerca de las últimas noticias que están rodeando el mundo de la NFL.
So, Alex, what are we doing today? We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL news. Is that what I hear?
Exactly. Correcto.
So, let me start.
Okay.
If I can.
Of course, you can.
We'll just jump in right here. We have three topics today for our podcast, right?
That's correct.
So we're going to start off with some contract holdouts. Then we're going to jump into the NFL pads rule that they just came out with.
La cual soy un apasionado acerca del tema porque me parece algo en el cual debemos comentar.
Right. And then we'll jump into the Minnesota Vikings non-move move.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll just kind of kick things off. Alex, why don't you give us a quick lowdown on the latest contract holdouts?
Sí, bueno, quiero comenzar con este punto de interés, especialmente para la gente que nos sigue, que tal vez no sabe cómo funciona esto de los contratos dentro de la NFL. Y existen tres casos típicos right now en el mundo de la NFL, el cual todo el mundo está hablando. Uno de ellos es el caso de Drew Brees, quien es el quarterback de los New Orleans Saints.
So Drew Brees is holding out. He's in the last year of his deal. Actually, he just finished the last year of his deal. He just broke NFL records for the best passing season ever. And the New Orleans Saints said, you know what, we're not going to give you a big deal right now. We're going to slap what's called a franchise tag on you, and we're going to pay you just about $16 million for this next year. Drew Brees is probably worth somewhere around $19 to $20 million a year.
Explícanos un poco más acerca de esto del franchise tag, Justin, porque mucha gente no sabe cómo funcionan este tipo de negociaciones dentro del mundo de la NFL.
So the franchise tag is a designation that NFL teams can give players that if a player is going to walk into free agency at the end of the season, when the free agency period starts, they can hit him up with this franchise tag, and it pays this player the average of top five salaries around the league. So what the Saints are thinking, they're going, okay, let's pay Drew Brees $16 million and change this year. Pay him $20 million the year after, and that's going to save us at least $4 million this year.
Pero por supuesto me imagino que Drew Brees no está contemplando este escenario y quiere algo como un contrato multianual, ¿correcto?
Correct. So, if I were Drew Brees, I'd be absolutely angry. I want the guaranteed deal. I want the team to invest in me, and I want them to basically prove, yes, Drew, we want you here. We care about you. You're the face of our franchise. Let's get this done. Let's make it happen. Here's your 5-year, 6-year deal, whatever it is, worth just about $100 million. Approximately the same deal that Peyton Manning got, if not better, because Drew is younger.
Correcto. En los últimos días he estado escuchando acerca de un posible escenario, y es el cual, para poder tener acceso a un contrato multianual, Drew Brees puede decidir no jugar esta temporada. ¿Eso es algo posible? ¿El que Drew Brees no juegue esta temporada y tratar de ver si la negociación forza a los New Orleans Saints to sign a better contract?
Right, so Drew's holding out, right? So yeah. He doesn't want to play, he doesn't want to participate in off-season training activities, and so he's just not showing up. He's not being the leader of the team that they need him to be, especially in this off-season. He's not going to do anything. He's going to try to force their hand. That's right. So Drew Brees holding out. We'll see what happens. My guess is we'll be a couple of weeks away from training camp, if not mid to end July, And Drew Brees will get that deal. He'll walk into training camp because the Saints cannot afford to not have him around.
La última hipótesis que escuché sobre este caso fue que posiblemente él estaría esperando un poco más para hacer este tipo de negociaciones. Pero bueno, ya veremos. Por lo pronto vamos a hablar en este tipo de discusiones contractuales de nuestro segundo caso, el cual es Wes Welker.
So Wes Welker, New England Patriots. He's gotten over 100 receptions a year for the last 5 years. He makes a lot of catches. He's a wide receiver. He's Tom Brady's favorite target. He ran out of his contract this last year. The Patriots, same thing, slapped a franchise tag on Wes Welker, and he didn't want to sign it. But he signed it because it's worth about $9.6 million, and that's about, I think, $6 million more than he was making last season. So, of course, he's going to sign it. But he still wants that long-term deal. Unfortunately, the Patriots do not pay players older than 30 for more than 2 or 3 years on their contract. And I believe Wes Welker is 31.
Oh, eso quiere decir que ya él firmó el contrato para este año, ¿correcto?
Correcto.
Ok, perfecto. Bueno, y para terminar sobre estas discusiones contractuales, no podíamos dejar por fuera a nuestro equipo favorito, los Denver Broncos, en los cuales tienen dos casos bastante típicos en este tipo de discusiones. Uno es Ty Warren and el otro es Matt Prater.
That's right. Matt Prater and Ty Warren are holdouts from the Broncos OTAs for completely separate reasons. Ty Warren hasn't played a down since 2009.
Wow.
The Broncos signed him at the beginning of last season. They paid him $4 million and he got hurt in training camp.
O sea que recibió 4 millones y no jugó.
No go.
Oh my God.
So, Ty Warren's sitting there. He made $4 million before the Broncos signed him. $4 million when the Broncos did sign him. He's been out of football for 2 years. Hasn't played a down in 2 years. And the Broncos went back to him and said, look, we're going to pay you $4 million this year for the 2012 season, but we want you to take a pay cut to about $1 million, $1.5 million. Because you've been paid so much, but you haven't played any football, why should we pay you anything? If you don't take that, we may cut you or trade you.
¿Existe algún deadline para este tipo de decisiones en los cuales los Denver Broncos deciden firmar a Ty Warren o definitivamente no firmar?
My guess is the Broncos will release Ty Warren if he doesn't take that money before training camp starts. The Broncos can't have a guy that hasn't participated.
¿Cuándo son los training camps para los Denver Broncos?
End of July.
Okay. Estaremos pendientes sobre esta situación, sobre este jugador. ¿Pero qué nos puede decir de Matt Prater?
So Matt Prater, this is a different situation. He was the clutch kicker that the Broncos had last year that actually made, I believe, 3 game-winning field goals for the Broncos, if not 4. He was one of the big reasons why Tebow kept winning, because Matt Prater was lights out towards the end of the games in all the regular season games. But he got slapped with a franchise tag. The Broncos didn't want to give him a major long-term deal because, well, he's a kicker. So who wants to pay a kicker that much? But, hey, you know, Matt Prater, he's probably doing the right thing. He doesn't need to participate in off-season activities. He's holding out. He'll eventually sign that free agent tender unless the Broncos and Matt Prater get a deal done.
Muy bien. Muchísimas gracias, Justin, por estos acertados comentarios acerca de las últimas noticias en el mundo de la NFL, especialmente en esta parte contractual. Nuestro segundo tópico para el día de hoy en nuestro podcast es acerca de la nueva regulación que la liga está imponiendo para la temporada 2013, para el próximo año, sobre el uso mandatorio de protectores a nivel de la cadera y a nivel de la rodilla. Particularmente yo tengo una opinión acerca de este caso, aun cuando no soy tan especialista como nuestro amigo Justin, creo que el hecho de que la liga o la asociación de jugadores más bien se esté negando a no obedecer el uso o aceptar el uso de este tipo de protección es absolutamente ridículo.
That's, yeah, ridiculous. So the NFL is trying to enforce this rule that all players need to wear knee and thigh pads. Okay, now if you've never played NFL football, if you've never played college, high school, or football with pads, I've played, and putting the knee pads and the thigh pads on, I'll give you a hint, I used them every single day because I figured no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to use pads to protect me. Now, the disadvantage, you can't run very fast. It takes a little bit of time and it adds a little bit more weight. So some people, players in the NFL, say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to run as fast, I'm not going to wear them. Others, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they could care less because they're going to get beat up in the trenches anyway.
Correcto. Sin embargo, si tomamos en cuenta que esta es una medida para todos por igual, el justificativo de que puede ser ventajoso o no a la hora de correr con el balón, para mí no tiene sentido porque todos van a usar el mismo equipo, todos van a estar bajo la misma condición. Así que yo tengo esta opinión bastante definida y creo que la asociación de jugadores puede estar entrando en un camino bastante peligroso porque si luego ellos empiezan a decir de que la liga no ha hecho nada por proteger al jugador por posibles concussions o otro tipo de lesiones en la cabeza, bueno, la liga puede decir, yo puse este tipo de medidas para proteger a los jugadores y ustedes la están rechazando.
Right, so are these pads going to stop a concussion? Maybe. Are they going to stop a major injury? Probably not. Are they going to be effective? Who knows? But hey, I'm on the NFL side on this one. Let's enforce some protection. Let's, you know, try to make sure that they don't get sued later in the year, later as life goes on, because I love this game and I want this game to exist, so why not protect the players?
Correcto.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. This is the non-move. Now, everybody was thinking the Vikings need a new stadium. Ziggy Wolf, the owner of the Vikings, when he bought them a few years ago, he was thinking, I need a new stadium. I know the stadium's falling apart. There has to be a new stadium built in Minnesota, or ultimately, maybe they would leave. So this summer, it got down to crunch time. There was actually a couple of votes, and one was positive, one was negative, but why don't you tell our Spanish-speaking people out there what this really means?
Bueno, tengo poca información acerca de este tipo de movidas o situaciones en la NFL, pero prácticamente el dueño del equipo ha decidido continuar con el equipo en Minnesota siempre y cuando exista un nuevo estadio para el equipo, para los Minnesota Vikings. Sin embargo, para la construcción de un nuevo estadio, eso pasa por la municipalidad o por la alcaldía o por donde nosotros podemos llamarlo el gobierno municipal. Y ellos son a la final quienes van a decidir si aprueban la construcción de este estadio, porque a la final va a ser construido con dinero del contribuyente, con lo que llamamos el dinero de los taxpayers.
Yep, so the Minnesota Vikings, just to sum it up, they had to have approval from the taxpayers to build a stadium. The owner was going to contribute a large sum of money. I think he was about 400 some million dollars that he was going to contribute.
Wow.
That's way more than most of the owners out there in the NFL. And they also needed the taxpayers to contribute about $400 to $600 million. So it passed city council, it passed the basic house committee for the Minnesota government, and it passed the Senate just barely, majority vote, and then the governor just signed it. They're going to get their stadium hopefully in 3 years, 2015 season.
Por lo tanto, Minnesota Vikings will stay.
They will stay in Minnesota. Hooray! Now, who's going to move to LA? Well, maybe we'll do a podcast on that later. I'm going to jump in, just breaking news, quick subject, Hard Knocks. It's back after a year-long hiatus. Last team that did it were the New York Jets. This year, we're getting a nice, warm, sunny break down in sunny Miami. We're going to watch the Miami Dolphins and Hard Knocks, one of the best reality TV shows ever.
Sin embargo, te voy a preguntar, Justin, acerca de este tipo de programas, Hard Knocks. Danos un poco más de background information about acerca de qué se trata este programa y este año que va a ser filmado con los Miami Dolphins. What is this all about?
So Hard Knocks is a reality TV show that follows a team through training camp. You see the ins and outs of training camp. You see the excitement of these young players just coming in and playing the game. You see them learn the system. You see them get pulled out of formations because they aren't learning it. And you see the kind of the back end, the reality of the NFL football.
Podemos decir que es el dirty laundry.
Dirty laundry, that's right. They're airing their dirty laundry. So it's going to be really interesting because the Dolphins have a brand new head coach, brand new systems, brand new quarterbacks, with the exception of Matt Moore. And, you know, it's Miami. There's going to be drama somehow because it's always Miami. Miami has its drama. Maybe CSI Miami will show up. Hopefully
pero,
not.
Pero honestamente, yo no creo que esto sea una situación que beneficie el equipo. Creo que más bien no va a beneficiar al equipo como team que necesita estar bien compenetrados para el inicio de la temporada.
So it's going to be great to see the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be great to see some football action. It's going to be great to see it on HBO with all of the uncensored, uncut footage, all that good stuff. Love it. Love football. It's time for us to go. Adios, amigos. This is Justin Dayrud and Alexander Gonzalez.
Adios y hasta la próxima. Bye-bye.